Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It was yet another very interesting college football weekend. Barrett Jones was on the call for USC Stanford. He's a college football analyst for ESPN, and he joins us now. Barrett, what's going on?
What's up, guys? There was so much footballing this weekend. Oh, my goodness. What a... I'd missed it. You know, I mean, it was one thing to get college back, but then when you get college and the NFL, it's just a great weekend.
Tennessee is 0-2 for the first time since the late 80s. It felt like, you know, from a logical standpoint, to lose the home opener to Georgia State, there was no way they were going to do it again. Yet there they do it again. They have a 99.9% win probability, you know, really late in the game, and end up finding a way to blow it. What can you say about Tennessee and the situation there?
Oh, well, first of all, I feel for them. I mean, the agony and misery of Tennessee fans. I mean, it's hard to watch. And, you know, I love Jeremy Pruitt. He was there when I was at Alabama, and so I hate it for him. And, obviously, it's a really tough situation right now. And, you know, I had several Tennessee fans that I talked to last week who just all said basically the same thing, just searching for positives that they weren't sure could get worse. And then somehow it seemingly got worse. So it's definitely a bad situation. And, look, I think there's a lot of things moving in a positive direction as far as recruiting classes, players they have coming in. Certainly was a challenging rebuild job, but it's just hard to lose games like that repeatedly and find a way to keep your job. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all pans out, but it's certainly not good.
Are the people you talk to, the fans of the programs, the folks you know, or do they want his head? Do they say, no, it must end with him? The folks that are connected to the program, or, you know, it looks like they're going to start 1-6, Barrett. If they get it turned around with the South Carolina, the UABs, you know, get that thing to whatever, you know, 6-6 or whatever, can Pruitt save it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely can. I mean, I think most fans acknowledge it's much more than just him. Obviously, you know, we talked about just how bare the cupboard was. I've never seen an offensive line last year or this year, which is a big reason why they're playing so many young guys, with so little pieces. I mean, that's a huge part of really both lines. We're just decimated by really a lack of talent, I think. Now they have a ton of young guys in there that are playing, and it's showing in a big way, and Garantano has not been good. Look, no one's really been good. It's just been a nightmare all the way around. And you know, the defense was terrible in the first game. A little better maybe in this game, you could say. But I don't know, man. And just from a player standpoint, it's just so deflating to have two games in a row like this and to have so many people talking about you. That's the guys that really feel bad for us, because those guys, I'm sure, are receiving a lot of criticism. And it's just no fun. It's no fun when you have situations like this. I've been in similar situations, maybe in the NFL, but maybe not quite to this extent, because this is pretty tough days.
Do you still think they can attract like a good coach? Like, do you think there is a quote unquote quality guy out there that would take that job in 2019 or 2020 or whenever that day comes?
Well, it's a great question, and you know, I think you look at just nationally and different brands of schools, and people are always talking about this job and that job. And, you know, to me, I kind of think Tennessee is a tough job, and maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but, you know, you look at geographically, there's some challenges that present themselves. You know, not a ton of guys out of the state of Tennessee in general. Memphis really is a free-for-all. You can just remove that. It's about 6 hours away. So you have to kind of recruit nationally. And for a long time, Philip Fulmer did it. He recruited all around the country and turn Tennessee into a brand. But man, it's just with so many different, really, really good teams surrounding you, whether it's Georgia or, you know, there's obviously three different teams in Florida, Alabama and Auburn and Alabama. I mean, it's just, it's hard to find it, just a ton of players out there who to recruit for Tennessee, I think. I think that's what makes it a hard job. To me, I've always said it, this is kind of an aside, but I think Georgia, to me, is the best job. You got all the money in the world. You have one of the most talent, one of the most talent-rich states, probably the third or fourth most talent-rich state, and you're really the only show in town. I know there's Georgia Tech now. They don't run the triple option, but still, they're not in the same class recruiting as Georgia. So that, to me, is that's a golden job right there that somehow Kirby Smart found his way into. So anyway, I think Tennessee's a tough job, and I don't think they'll, you know, get a top-level, you know, coach, maybe some like a John Gruden type, like I thought they were going to get last time. But I think they still could get a young coach who could kind of grow into the program and create a lot of excitement. Look, people around Tennessee love football, and they want to be good, and they'll commit to it if they feel like it's heading in the right direction. And so there still are a lot of pieces in place where they could be a successful program.
Hey, game you were at, at any point, or Stanford's up 17-3 in that game, did you expect to see a true freshman quarterback in Keaton Slovis lead USC back? And can he sort of save Clay Helton, who we've all felt like is on the hot seat out of USC?
Yeah, I know most people were probably asleep during my game this past week because it didn't start, I think, till 9:30 Central. That was tough. Even my own wife texted me at halftime and said that she hoped they had a good second half, so I get it. But, Keaton Slovis was extremely impressive.
Yes, he was.
Daniels, USC starting quarterback, went down last week with a torn ACL. And in comes a true freshman, Keaton Slovis, who no one had ever heard of, a three-star guy. And he lit it up. I mean, they were down 73, like you said. And from that point on, I think they went on something like a 42-3 run. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible what they were able to accomplish. And this offense under Graham Harrell, who was, if you remember that name, he was a former quarterback under Mike Leach. He was a North Texas offensive coordinator last year. They look really good, and they've kind of got it rolling over there right now. It's kind of a spread air raid with a little bit of more of a run game mixed in, and I like it. I think they're going to surprise some people this year. Now, you know, you have a freshman, so with the good times probably comes some inconsistencies too.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think there was a lot of excitement, and it's certainly Clay Helton needed this if he wants to keep his job this year.
We are, of course, talking to Barrett Jones, college football analyst for ESPN, proud graduate of Alabama. LSU, after a very impressive win on the road, moves up to number four after the win against Texas. You know, I think when Ed Orgeron got the job, it was mostly met with universal, you know, joking. You know, everybody thought this guy was going to be fired maybe after a year. It turns out LSU is good. I mean, the offense is better, you know, and they look like a real program. Are you surprised by this?
Well, I think we just need to take a moment for a second and just let it sink in that an LSU quarterback threw for 471 yards.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, if I had told you that 3 years ago, you would have laughed me out of the room. I mean, 471 yards. I don't care who it's against. I mean, that's incredible. And not to mention it was against a top 10 team.
Yep.
Joe Burrow was great. I mean, he had some moments where he made some mistakes, but he's out there just slinging it. And I'm all about it. I love seeing it. It was fun to watch. It was a great game. I think, you know, Tom Herman and Texas, they're on their way as well. But, man, LSU looks like a pretty good team. In fact, I was a little surprised that, you know, that if anything, the defense didn't play as well as I expected. But it didn't even matter because Joe Burrow just kept putting points up on the board again. And they were unstoppable on offense there for a few stretches. So Joe Brady, obviously coming in from the Saints, has made a huge difference with that offense. It looks different. We've heard the promise many times that, look, this year will be different. The offense, we're finally going to open it up. We've probably heard that five or six times, right, at LSU,
yep,
where under Miles we heard that. It's finally come true, right? It finally looks a lot different. And I think Joe Burrow in some ways, you know, is now starting to get the national attention that he deserves because he's a big reason, and that's a big reason why they weren't able to do it, is it looks a lot easier when you have a guy who's back there slinging it. And he's unafraid. As you can see, he's got a bunch of confidence, waving at the crowd goodbye. You might have seen that.
Yep.
He's definitely playing with some kind of swagger right now. Swagger can help you out when you're playing quarterback. Didn't work out so well for Baker Mayfield this weekend against the Titans, but it's worked out pretty well for a lot of other guys, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. And, look, I love it. It's fun to watch, and I can't wait. We're going to have some epic showdowns in SEC West this year. Obviously, that LSU-Alabama game is looking more and more enticing with each week that passes.
That you take me right into it. Is that when we finally learn something against Alabama, or do you think we'll possibly learn something about them when they go to Texas A&M in October? I look at that schedule. They've mollywopped what Duke and New Mexico State. I feel like, you know, we haven't learned anything that we didn't know about them this preseason. That's I mean, obviously the schedule. Do we finally learn about them against LSU, or do you expect Texas A&M to be a test?
Not really. Honestly, not after what I saw against Clemson. I was a little disappointed with A&M. And, you know, Kellen Mond, I thought he was wildly inaccurate.
He was.
You know, I know he was cramping, which that's a whole – I mean, I don't want to be overcritical, but, I mean, I don't understand how you're cramping in the second quarter. I mean, I know it's hot, but that's you got to be a little better prepared than that. But that's just my opinion. I have no idea. Maybe he drank all the water in the world and it just happened somehow. But, I don't think there'll be a huge issue for them. I think they'll roll over it. And, yes, I do think it won't be really till November where we find out exactly who Alabama is. They have LSU, obviously, and then that Auburn game could be challenging. But, the schedule, the way it sets up this year, and I do not expect there to be a whole lot of challenges before that LSU game. I kind of agree with you. Now, LSU, they do have some challenges. They do have some tougher games. In fact, I'm going to be calling the Auburn game in October, so I'll be looking forward to calling that game, and I think we'll find out a little more about them as the season goes on. But yeah, I love great matchups, and I know that as a Alabama fan, I was taught to just root against everyone except for Alabama. But I hope all those teams are undefeated, and we get to see some great big clashes. That's what I love. I love these big games with elite teams, and so I kind of hope it sets up as a another, you know, huge, not maybe not quite the game of the century again, but another big time game that gets some big time attention.
Barrett, was there a part of you deep down that enjoyed watching Baker Mayfield get sacked five times, throw three picks?
There's no doubt. I mean, mm-hmm. The Titans are a local team too, so, you know, mildly root for them. But I go back and forth on Baker Mayfield. Okay, I started out as a true Baker Mayfield hater. I was not about him. Then I saw him play a few times, and I called one of his games, called the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma against TCU, and I was blown away just how good he was. And really, the guy, he doesn't get enough credit for how well he understands the game, how mm-hmm. he studies. I mean, he has a great grasp of the offense. And so I thought after that game he'd be the number one pick, and sure enough he was, because he was very impressive. Now, I'm not really about his antics. You guys know me. It's kind of the antithesis in a lot of ways. It's sort of, I guess, how I want to act and do. But, he's got his own little deal going, and I think they went a little too far. I mean, the Browns in general, I mean, this is just so predictable, right? I mean, the Browns have been terrible for a long time. All of a sudden, now they're going to win the Super Bowl, and
right.
This happens. So,
and they come out and
it's a bizarre situation. I think they'll stabilize, and I said the whole time I think they'll go 8-8 or 9-7 and be a solid team, but I don't see them making a whole lot of noise. They got a long way to go.
Speaking of antics, have you ever in your career had a teammate as ridiculous as Antonio Brown?
Hmm. Where do you even start with this whole deal? I mean, I don't know. Every second there was an update, the YouTube, stuff, and now, which, I mean, everyone kind of suspected that there was some type of contrived effort on his part, because, who just has cameramen sitting around taping conversations and, taping your reaction to things? I mean, I know I don't have any cameramen in my house doing that. So, I think there was, you kind of started to get the idea that, like, this is on purpose.
This
and
was orchestrated.
I get that Antonio Brown, like, thinks he won, but... I heard Joe Testor say this on the radio this morning on the show with Trey Wingo and Mike Golic. And I did he really win as a man? Like, I mean, just with your kids and just as far as, like, his reputation and who he is.
Right.
I mean, he just made it abundantly clear that it's really just all about him. And it is very frustrating. I can't wait to see just kind of how it works out with the Patriots. I mean, I'm sure they always find a way with Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, those kind of guys, to just turn them into model citizens. So maybe they'll do it again. But it's a bizarre deal to me. And, I'm a big believer in reputation and understanding that you're impacting other people and the way you're acting. And to me, it's just been absolutely ridiculous, and it's frustrating. And it's a, I know that, that you know, the NFL is welcoming some soap operas. That's what's made the NBA successful in a lot of ways over these past few years. But man, this is just, I hate it. I hate the whole deal, and I think it's frustrating. Maybe, you know, you can call me the get off my lawn guy, I guess, but
yeah,
that's what I am in this case, because it just, it drives me nuts, and I hate that. I hate to see anyone act that way. And look, say what you want. There's, it's going to be hard for him to come out on the winning side money wise. I know he thinks this is a win,
right?
But man, he forfeited what, $30 million guaranteed, but probably $45 million. I think
exactly.
Everyone pretty much expects
exactly.
them to play over the next 3 years, and that's $45 million.
No question.
He's going to have to play some good football to recoup that money.
Yes, he is. And I would just say, to the point, you know, there, because there are some conspiracy theories out there, like as if he never wanted to play for the Raiders and that he was always trying to get to the Patriots, even from day one. I think we're giving him too much credit. I mean, this is, after all, a guy who stepped into a cryo chamber with no socks on. You know, so I think we're giving him just a little bit too much credit in terms of, like, the long con. I don't think he's capable of that by
I
the
agree.
End. Yes, but I don't think it was the plan from day one. He's not – I don't think he's got enough
totally
up there.
I totally agree. I think it was not a long con. It was a situation where he maybe had a passing thought in Pittsburgh of, like, oh, I want to go play for New England. Like, and they were like, no chance we're going to trade you to New England.
Yep.
He traded in the Raiders. He got unhappy again. He was like, hey, I want to play for New England again. How can I do that? Well, I'll just start acting ridiculous and get cut and released.
Yep.
I mean, it's just the whole thing is so bizarre. I mean, at some point it became so obvious that he no longer, I mean, just when he, every time, like, the Raiders kept extending a ridiculous amount of olive branches, right, where it's like,
yep.
What are they doing? Like, still he's going to play on Monday somehow. And then to wiretap your coach. I mean, that's a whole new level when you wiretap your coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and Gruden laughed it off, and he's like, ah, it's fine. And yet still, I mean, just the whole thing is so bizarre. I guarantee you, if he wiretaps Belichick, he will be out of there in a heartbeat. So he will not play that. And in fact, I doubt him and Belichick will be talking on the phone a whole lot anyway. But it's just a bizarre deal to wiretap your coach. That's a whole new level.
Barrett, if the cameras were at your home, just a regular weeknight, what would we see in the Jones household?
Oh, you'd see a lot of excitement, man. It's,
yeah.
You know, just – come home and have dinner with my wife and, you know, maybe watch a few episodes of Madam Secretary. That's kind of our show on Netflix right now. And, you know, maybe
great.
Occasionally play some board games or something. I mean, we're pretty lame. So other than my studying and doing work, you know, and that kind of stuff, that's when I'm not traveling and moving around, it's a pretty low-key lifestyle in the Jones household.
Barrett, you're the best, man. Appreciate
you,
the
brother.
Time as always.
Great stuff.
All right, guys. Always fun. Thanks.
Yep. He is Barrett Jones, college football analyst for ESPN, three-time national champion at Alabama. Yeah, it's one of those deals, right? I would imagine he probably didn't run into too many Antonio Brown types at Alabama because Nick Saban just doesn't tolerate it.
You fall in line in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, Antonio Brown types get cut.
No doubt. You know.
They transfer out of there.
They absolutely do. They go to FAU. With Lane Kiffin, you know, that's mm-hmm. where they end up. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Brett McMurphy going to join us at 1:25. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.